Testing 1, 2, 3. Here I go. Give me that microphone.
Welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle, where we are demystifying the hype in the beauty industry and giving it to you real. I'm your host, Julia Lubin. It's finally knocking at my door. My day up in the sun is just arrived. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Makeup Artist Chronicle. I want to launch International Women's History Month with an interview with a close friend of mine who just launched her own business. I am all for women, badass women, launching their own brands on their own terms, and I want to talk to them about how they're getting it done. So if you want to hear of another founder's story, head back to September of 2020. The episode titled F the Haters, Take the Selfie, where I interviewed Saucy Mommy Lashes founder Marissa. But for this episode, I want to introduce you to Nora of Nora's Nook, who is creating on her own terms and selling on her own terms. Also, just a friendly reminder that the Makeup Artist Chronicle is completely listener funded. No ads, none of that nonsense. So please head over to our Patreon page and support us in any way you can so that we can keep this podcast running smoothly. I'm so excited for International Women's History Month and this new Female Makers series. Now, without further ado, here's Nora of Nora's Nook.
Hi, everyone. I am joined by Nora from Nora's Nook. How are you, Nora?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
You're my second guest. And the other person that I've had on the show is also a kind of, you know, creative entrepreneur that started her own business kind of from her apartment during the pandemic. And so like this, all of this has inspired me to kind of pivot the podcast a little bit and talk more about like the artists and the makers, especially the women in the space that are like finding their passions or refining their passions or leaning further into their passions and turning them into something more. So I'm happy that you're doing that. I'm excited that you're here. And I want to learn, teach me how to adult. Where did you start?
Believe me, this is this thing from adulting. I'm basically doing crafts all day and it's great. So basically it started, I got furloughed at the beginning of the pandemic and I just found myself with all of this time on my hands and I was slipping into depressions in and out because I wasn't doing enough physical activity, etc. So I was like, I really need to put myself into something and dedicate my time to it that I was dedicating my time to my 9-to-5 job, or else I'm gonna go, you know, brain dead basically. So I basically started the store at the beginning of February, and I've been toying with the idea for the past couple months. I've been, you know, doing little like knickknacks around the house and, you know, decorating for Christmas, even got me in the more of the spirit of it. But since I had been furloughed, I was, you know, trying to fill my time, with things that would keep me entertained. And I was finding myself doing like a lot of, you know, like paint by numbers and stuff like that. But, you know, I wanted to find a way that I could commodify my time as well, especially with my wedding coming up. So I basically went on TikTok, on Instagram and things like that and saw what other people were doing. And for the longest time, I was like, okay, they're doing that. Why am I going to do that too? And then it turned into, if they're doing that, why can't I do that too? Mm. So it was basically try this out, see what it comes out to. And literally, I fell in love with doing these little resin things, whether it be coasters, trays, because whether you know, pour in the little plain clear pigment or whatever and add little things to it, it's always going to be different every single time. So I was able to find that I could basically, you know, find something that I did and liked and sell it to the world, show it to the world. And it started basically with me showing it to my friends and then being like, okay, you can sell that because I see that online. And, you know, so basically my friends like were like, hyping me up the entire time and just like, go for it. And, you know, being in the legal field, I knew that I had to go through the proper business steps and in order to set up the business, which was a whole process. But I went back and forth with my friend Liz, who's an attorney, and she helped me set up the whole thing. And that's basically, you know, like from idea to culmination, how it
Holy shit.
That was kind of long-winded right there.
No, that's like, that's so exciting. I feel like something you touched on that's so important is like, some people have an idea and don't know what the first step is to like actualize it into a business. And some people don't even have an idea, but know that they want to do something in the maker space. Mm-hmm. So I think that was like a really good intro into like, these are some of the first steps that you can take. I just want to ask, I'm not that familiar. I don't know if any of the listeners are, but like, what is this material that you're working with, the resin, and like what even is it? How does it work? Is it toxic? Is it like hard to work with? Is it like, is your whole apartment, because you live in Brooklyn, right? Mm-hmm. Is your whole apartment just like, your entire living room's covered in like, does it look like a serial killer's room?
Basically,
it's just covered in plastic.
I had this kitchen stand that I wanted for the longest time. It's like one of those little rollaway carts.
Yeah.
I first of all, before I thought of putting down a shower curtain to protect this surface, I was just like, let me just do this right here.
Yeah.
Ended up ruining the surface. And now I use a shower curtain over it.
Yeah.
But when we move, that'll be the art room.
Oh good.
Transfer into there since I ruined that. But
yeah.
So epoxy resin is basically, it's two, you get it in two different canisters. One's the liquid and one's the hardener. You pour it, usually it's an equal part, so it's one to one. You pour it out and then you keep stirring for about 5 to 10 minutes until it's completely clear. As little bubbles as possible and, you know, completely just integrated within itself. Then you can add dyes, sparkles, you know, a pearlescence to it to really make it your own. Like I was saying before, it's honestly, it's clear and you can pour it into any type of silicone mold that you can just break away. And that's the one thing that I really loved about it too, is that you can have the same mold over and over again and people can request the same thing over my Etsy store and it's going to be different every single time. Because it's literally like you add ink into it and it moves by itself. You know, it's just any type of art is all going to be that way, where it's not the standard cookie cutter thing that you're getting from, you know, Walmart or Joe's or something like that. So,
Real art? Like real. I know.
Are you calling me an artist?
I am calling you an artist. You're an artist and you're a successful brand founder.
Thank you so much. I tried real hard.
You're
That's actually been such a interesting part about doing this whole business. It's for our entire lives, in our generation, we grew up with Instagram, the culmination of it, and we've always been so addicted to posting and getting that immediate feedback.
Yeah.
And you're sitting, and obviously throughout us growing with Instagram, you learn about the algorithm and all of that stuff, but actually having a business on there and understanding what time to post and when to post and what to post and how much you need to post, it's been actually such a big learning experience for me that I'm constantly trying to, you know, learn more. Like I'll find other amazing women on Instagram that put out these eBooks for like $10 or something on how to run an Instagram business. And I'll buy that for 10 bucks just for the, you know, insight that they can give me from that. So I really, you know, Instagram's great for a business. It's a little bit, I mean, I can find myself where I'm staring at my phone all day now. So I've had to turn off notifications for it, or else I'm like constantly like, oh my God, did I get something?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it is an endorphin rush when you hear that ding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially since we've been programmed for that for so long. Like we're the generation of social media, that we just get that endorphin rush from having those likes and things like that. So I've had to, within the past couple of weeks, turn that off and refocus on, you know, like why I did it. And even every single day when I'm fulfilling orders and stuff like that, I'll have to add it into my schedule that I need to create something new. So mm-hmm. I'm not just doing the monotonous of filling mm-hmm. orders, filling orders, filling orders, or else I'm going to get bored of it.
Yeah.
And I never want that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you balance between, I think the thing about social media and with this rise in it, you know, marketability and like, and statistics, even if you're not a business, like I feel like so many of us are like, oh my God, that this is our validation. This is how many likes we got. Like, how do you balance between either personally or as a business or both? Like, how do you balance between putting out content or putting out photos or putting out something into the social media space that feels authentic and is something that you want to say versus putting things out that you think, you know, fit your grid or will get you more followers, will get you more likes. So like, how do you balance between what you think you should be putting out and what you want to be putting out?
Straight
is
up,
there a balance?
I don't balance. Like if something, okay. if I don't like something and I don't want to post it, I won't post it. Yeah. Even though I know it's something I should be posting. So like I was like, I won't post something unless I feel 100% confident in it. Whether it be a picture, a video, or even like, you know, one of those little polls or something like that. Yeah. So, I don't feel forced to, change who I am in order to fit into my Instagram. I prefer to change my Instagram to fit or change Instagram to fit who I am. So if it's saying, you know, post like 4 times a day with 5 different videos, I mean, I'll post at those times of day maybe, but I'm not going to be posting 4 or 5 videos.
Yeah.
You know, so anything that makes my, brand stand out, obviously it's more beneficial, but I'm not going to sacrifice my happiness you know, like my identity as a brand in order to fulfill these crazy, I mean, have you seen like some of them where they're like, you're supposed to be posting 4 reels a day and 20 stories and like 5 I'm like, first of all, who has the time for that? Second of all, who has the mental stability for that? Because even if you're posting that much and you have such a low audience, you're not getting that feedback. And it starts feeling bad if you're not getting that kind of feedback, even though for that time period, it's what you need to do. Yeah. I would rather, like I said, make Instagram work for me than the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so powerful. And like, I know it's so hard because it's like, are you... like social media is something that helps your business. Mm-hmm. It's not, but it could be like a total job within that business. So it's like, do you focus on what you're doing or do you focus on promoting it? Like, where do you kind of find the time? And it's something that I struggle with a lot because, you know, I have 2 podcasts, I have, you know, quite a few things going on. And so I'm like, I genuinely don't have, I feel like it's so stifling to creativity. To like, to be like, oh, I need to put this out. Okay. But I don't feel inspired. And I feel like recently I've been pulling away from, and maybe even going dark on social media, a little bit more because I'm like, I don't have anything to say and I don't want to say something just to fill up that space because it doesn't serve me and it doesn't add any meaning out into the world.
Absolutely. If you're just filling space to fill space, then it's just meaningless words. And I'd rather, like you said, save your energy and time for something that really, you know, sparks what you want to say to your audience and things like that.
Yeah.
Like my first, when I launched this shop, I had like 8 products. And within the second 2 weeks, I'm already launching more products. And I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that because, like, yes, obviously, I want to show what I have, but maybe, it wasn't the right timing or something like that. Like I posted it on Valentine's Day. Maybe people were out or whatever, but that's when I felt like doing it. And that's when I wanted to do it. So if I don't get the numbers for it, then I don't get the numbers for it. And obviously it's a learning experience, but you know, that's all you can take from it. And I'm not gonna, and like you said, you're not going to like quantify your creativity basically in order to gain followers and to keep that interaction going with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another thing that I'm learning that I found important, tell me if you are experiencing it, is like, I will go back and look at the metrics. Like, I'll look at the statistics. And in the beginning, it was very hard for me to do that and to disengage the emotional piece. Like, I have ownership over what I'm putting out. It's my baby. I hold it so dear. And so it felt a little bit like I wanted to live in the dark of that part of it, because I didn't want it to interfere with my desire to put something out.
Right.
But then I like started looking at it. Yeah. Yeah. And so I like, and then I started looking at it and I was like, I'm such an idiot for not looking at this sooner, because this tells, like, I did something very similar where I was doing research of launching this podcast, putting in the work and figuring out like, okay, when's the best day of the week with like all these things. Mm-hmm. And so the podcast launches on Tuesdays, but then I went back and I'm like, the past few months, most of my downloads have been happening on Saturdays. And so it's just like what, there's so much there, and it's such a good point to start, but like, I don't know, do you feel that like sometimes you look and it just affects you at a level that's deeper than just like that quantifiable space?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that all entrepreneurs will definitely feel like, because it's not a 9-to-5, and because every single one of our projects is, like you said, like our little babies that we want to protect and shield from any like negativity or anything like that, that we don't look at it. And then, I mean, like you just said, like you just start looking at it, you're like, okay, so I'm learning something from this. Maybe I should have been looking at it, like something like that. But I think that, I mean, you're 100% right in the fact that those things are definitely there to help, but sometimes they definitely do hinder. And it's like, you have to find that balance of maybe you take out a chunk of your day, even though it's not a 9-to-5 job, you're only looking at your phone for your business between those 9-to-5 hours. Or, you know, if you get a direct message about it, obviously you're going to want to answer that right away, but you're not obsessively holding the phone on your, let me check to see if I got the likes on the picture that I wanted. Let me check to see if I got the listeners that I wanted on my podcast and things like that, because it takes away from that creativity. And then all you're thinking about is the commodity side of it. And that's not why you got into it. And it's never why you, you know, wanted to be a part of it at all. Otherwise you would have just, you know, in a capitalist drone the entire time.
It's like, it's so interesting, and I feel like you can see that difference, like the people that make something with their own hands and like just like start very scrappy, and like how those brands evolve versus like the people that have an eye for business, have a business plan, have the, you know, investment and the seed money, and like it's just a different vibe,
right? Yeah,
and it's a different connection.
Less the heart, it's less of you're putting your heart into it and you're just putting your mind into it.
Yeah, no, I totally, and it's so cool to see brands that like started from an apartment, oftentimes in Brooklyn, especially like in the beauty space, the brands that started in someone's apartment and they're now being sold like worldwide in these huge retail spaces. But you can still see that there's something so grounded in them.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like,
I think the whole, I think the struggle part of it is very, it carry, if you struggle, I mean, whether it's in your life or in business, you're going to carry that throughout, and it's going to make you a different person. If you had everything handed to you in your business and you had all these, you know, investment opportunities and people are throwing their money at you left, right, and center, you I feel like you don't have as much of a gratitude towards it, or, you know, that accomplishment feeling, because everything is just, you know, there and it's so easy. But if you're scraping by for your pennies to go buy supplies for the items that have been already sold for your company, then you know what it is like to struggle. And when you see that success, I feel like it's a lot more gratifying as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. Your work is beautiful. And I'm not just saying that because we've known each other for years and we're friends, and I like am so supportive of you, and I want to shout out Nora's Nook from the rooftops.
Thank you.
It like is, it's good fucking quality, it's beautiful, and it like is one of those things that it transcends style genres. Like, the things you make can be cottagecore, they can be glam, they can be modern. Like, all of it, like, can fit into any space. And at first, your first drop, as you were saying, it was, you know, a lot of, it was catch-alls, ashtrays, you know, the beautiful monogrammed keychains. Mm-hmm. But then you created what, in my opinion, is one of my favorite pieces of yours.
Are you talking about the Naked Ladies?
I'm talking about the Naked Ladies. I like, it hurts my soul to, like, pick a favorite, honestly, and I'm not just saying that to, like, hype you up. Fucking gorgeous. But, like, that female form and the fact that you chose a form that has curves, like, what, tell me the story, like, tell me the inception of that and how it came to be.
So for the Naked Ladies, I actually saw a lot of them the molds being used for candles, actually. And they actually melt gorgeously as candles. But I was like, I don't want to just, you know, have a product that is going to go away and somebody's going to have to rebuy, because I'm a consumer and I know how annoying that is to have to constantly. I mean, obviously I want to sell things, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I don't want somebody to buy something that's beautiful, burn it, and then they have to buy it again. So I decided to change those normal moldings from the silicone for candles into the silicone for resin. And they were, like you said, they're such a beautiful body shape. It's not the stick. It's not the twig. I personally have never been that body shape where I've, you know, fit into extra small, size zero kind of situation. I have always been a curvier person, so I identify more with those molds myself. So, and I also find them absolutely gorgeous. And I think that we're so far past the heroin chic skin, or, like, you know, skin thin female versions, and we're accepting the fact that women have curves and women's bodies should be celebrated, period. And I think that these little ladies are just like a little squad of power and girlhood, and they're just great. And like you said, they're obviously they're naked ladies, as we're calling them, but, you know, some of them have nipples and, like, a few of them don't. So it's, like, a little bit provocative. Even when I showed my mom, she was like, naked ladies. And I was like, yeah, mom, naked ladies. What's the problem? She's like, I don't know. It just feels weird. And I was like, yeah, well, maybe this is why our generation has body issues. Yeah. Because y'all were all so ashamed for so long and told to cover up that, like, we have body issues from this. And I think that celebrating the women's body form as it is, and not like I'm gonna have liposuction and be a size zero in order to be pretty. I mean, obviously a size zero is pretty in and of itself, but you don't have to be a size zero in order to be,
like, it's not aspirational.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like, that's one reason why it really resonated with me, those pieces, because I have always, my whole life, I was aspiring to take up as little space as possible, mm-hmm. physically. And, like, I'm 5'9". So the only way that I could really do that is, like, sideways, right? Or, like, you know, shrink in that way. And it led to, like, so, like, such an abusive relationship with myself, mm-hmm. that now at the age of 32, like, I'm just starting to really unpack all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, seeing your first launch were these beautiful products that, like, are so universal, again, transcend style genres. And then you, like, give us this beautiful sculpture of these naked ladies, and they're not the aesthetic that, I don't know, I feel like I'm not articulating myself well, but, like, I feel like a lot of your pieces are very universal. Like, there are so many diverse people that would love them and that would fit into their homes. The Naked Ladies was the one that was, like, I felt like the biggest statement and the biggest one to be like, hey, this is a body type. This exists. Like,
yeah.
And it's beautiful. And it also fits this profile of, it transcends a style genre, and it can be in, you know, diverse people, like a diverse group of people's homes, regardless of what your style is.
Yeah.
And just seeing that, after seeing objects that were so utilitarian, like useful around the house, and seeing something that's just beautiful in and of itself, and it's a nude bust of a naked woman. I was just like, a nude bust of a naked woman. But I was just like, fuck yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do
it. Even as I was creating it, I was thinking of different like colors that I can do and everything. And then as you're creating it, you're like, I'm essentially creating like a little statue of a woman, and I can make her any type of color, any type of situation that I want. And especially with what has gone on within the past year of, you know, whole race issue and things like that, I thought it was like super important. I was doing these, you know, melded like marble type colors, and that was in my mind, where it's like, you know, like color doesn't matter. You can, I mean, obviously that's not what I meant, color doesn't matter, but like the unification of the two colors together and things like that, it can be very representative of, you know, how people feel at the moment too. So I, that's why I also, in my work, I like to give everybody the option of color choice when you're putting in the order. You can tell me you want an all black statue, you want an all white statue, you want, you know, a marble statue of two together, you want a blue one, you want a green one, you know what I mean? Like, it's up to you what you want this woman to be. And I think that's, you know, as a person of mixed color, I mean, my father is Arab and my mom's Irish, so I've always felt like a mix of the two cultures myself.
Yeah.
So I've always felt like when I can mix things together physically,
yeah,
and it comes beautiful, it's such a reflection of life.
Okay, mic drop, game over. I need to like go sit in a corner and just cry. Like,
as I finished saying that, I was like, wow, that's pretty profound, Nora.
That is so fucking profound. And it's like it, that articulates the importance of why we need to like be more representative of different cultures, because look how it informs what we create, and look at how many beautiful creations come from these different cultures individually within themselves, but then also when they work together and when they collaborate and kind of stretch each other. Like, and so I think it speaks volumes to the fact that we need to, I was thinking about this, like, it's not enough to have a room full of diverse people creating things or having conversations. Like, we need to collectively reframe our mindset that this is an important thing to have. Because I feel like so many of us are like, get people in the room. And then you get people in the room, hopefully. And people are like, all right, what do we do now? And so I think it's like a mindset shift first of like, this is why this is important. And these are our expectations going into that room. Mm-hmm. And like, if you acknowledge that it's going to be fucking uncomfortable because everyone's bringing their own set of ignorances, you get that out from the jump. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, it's like being in a job interview and being like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm nervous, but I'm happy to be here. It's like, you acknowledge, like, I'm nervous to be here, but I'm happy we're doing this. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable at times. Like, let's fucking do it.
I think if everybody is open to learning and open to understanding and things like that, then obviously that's going to go so much further in life. If people are, you know, like the more closed off and don't want to learn. And I think that it's not going to work out. And I think that that's what I love about our generation, is that I feel like our generation is so much more open than previous generations. Obviously, like I was saying, my mother was like, oh my God, naked ladies. And I'm just like, yeah, naked ladies. Let's fucking go. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and I think that that's just how our, hopefully, society is leaning towards, you know?
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I look at the Gen Zers, and I just have so much hope, because...
Well, speaking of Gen Zers, I'm glad to see that you have a side part, because...
Oh, yeah.
These bitches are coming for the side part, and I was like...
The side part, the skinny jeans, what else? There was, like, oh, the cry laughing emoji. Like,
yes.
All of these things are canceled. All of these things are out.
I was
they're
like,
canceled.
Damn, I thought I was still young. I'm only 28. Give me my youth
they're
back.
Done.
You're
they're
telling
canceled.
Me I'm canceled?
There it's over. It's over. Yeah, like, although I did see a meme that was like, Gen Zers, don't you dare, like, millennials, like, came of age in the side part, and it was just, like, portraits of, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and, like, Ryder, what was his name, the guy that played Hunter on Boy Meets World, and it was, like, floppy bowl cuts with the center part, and it was, Sean, like, you don't even know, I like, think our thirst trash. Was he?
I think all of my first crushes definitely had a middle part, so yeah. I'm about the middle part, but I have a gray streak, so I can't do it.
I love that. I didn't know that, but
I mean I've been dying it, obviously. Yeah. It's also usually hidden. That's why I like having the side part, because it's hidden. But
yeah.
I've been obviously since quarantine been getting my hair done, and I'm starting to really enjoy my, you know.
I kind of love it
for
you.
My wisdom. This is my witch. It's kind of like witchy, you know. So
yeah, I love it. I feel like that. Like, you just change your part when you're like.
I'm just like a different person.
Yeah, you change Cruella your part DeVille. When. Okay, that's a whole other conversation. Have you seen the trailer for the new Cruella
movie?
My
sister just sent it to me.
Holy
Emma
shit!
Emma Stone looks amazing. I didn't watch it yet, but she sent me the trailer for it, and she looks drop dead gorgeous.
She is the villain that we don't deserve. It's that whole in the acting community. There's always that mentality of like, the villain is the hero of their own story, is how actors approach it. And so, like, to get this story of, like, from the perspective of the quote-unquote villain, and she is the hero of her own story, it's, like, yeah, like, with, I'm just happy we're seeing it. Like, we saw the Joker, but now we're seeing, like, a woman, and we're seeing Emma Stone do it, and it's badass, and I love it.
I feel like they should do that. I mean, they did that for Maleficent, too, which I actually never saw. My sister is obsessed with that, and she said it's amazing, and it does basically the same type situation where it's like you're seeing their story, and I was like, I kind of love that, because they're definitely all just like bad bitches and shit just happened to them,
Well, speaking of, again, I'm derailing this conversation, but that's okay. Have you seen WandaVision?
No, I haven't. It's on Disney Plus, right?
It's on Disney Plus. Everything we've talked about just now is probably on Disney Plus, or will be. but yeah, so it's on Disney Plus, and it's like the Marvel universe, and it's a show, and every episode is a sitcom of a different decade. So it starts in the 50s, and then it goes to the 60s, 70s, etc. But it's like you learn very quickly that things are not what they seem. Yeah. And I think in like, I want to say episode 3 or 4, you begin to see how it ties into the Marvel universe as we know it. But it's another story of like a woman who is very much powerful, owns her power, went through some fucked up shit, and she's like defining how she responds to it on her own terms. Mm-hmm. And as the show kind of progresses, the audience can make up their minds of like, is she a villain? Is she doing the wrong things, or is she someone that like you can really empathize with as someone who's been through shit and like maybe isn't making the like legal choice, but is making like the right choice.
Not to give anything away.
Not to give anything away, but shit pops off episode 4. Yeah.
All right. So I'll definitely throw that into my schedule for this week.
Yeah, it's really great, and you can just like have it on while you're working if that's the option.
I love shows like that. Yeah, that's what I feel like I've been with Schitt's Creek. I just started that.
Yes. Oh, I love Schitt's Creek. Speaking,
like, I've been trying so hard not to just like binge right through it, because it's so good and I love it so much. I've been trying to read like a good amount during the day, so that I'm not like just staring at a TV or a screen, like we were saying before.
Yeah.
What
are you reading?
But right now I'm reading The Nightingale, and it's amazing. And actually, I just read a book that you would probably really like. It's called An Anonymous Girl, and it's about a girl who's a makeup artist. So
I'm taking notes.
It's like, it's like a psychological thriller. It's really, really good.
Oh man.
Okay. But I've been trying to read so I'm not watching Schitt's Creek all day long and finish it in 2 days like I normally do.
Yep.
But it's amazing. And I was like, how have I just not watched this for the past, what, 6 years? There's 6 seasons of
it? It's so good. I will give you a word of warning that you're doing the right thing. Please don't binge it. Because I binged the, like, all, I think, first 4 or 5 seasons, whatever. Like, one less than there are. Mm-hmm. And I binged it. And the last season went up. And I still haven't given myself the opportunity to watch it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'll probably go back and rewatch it from the beginning and try to go slower, because the fact that it's over, and I know
Wait,
that
the is last, that the last season.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's why I'm telling you.
Oh
don't
my God.
Binge it.
Yeah.
Don't
no, now I'm going to do literally an episode a day.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be so sad.
There are certain shows and there are certain and books as well. I find, I just finished reading The Invisible Life of Addy LaRue. Incredible.
Oh, I literally have
do you have it?
Sitting, like, I'm reading it. It's so good, right?
It's so fucking good. So that book for me, and then Schitt's Creek and some other programming, it's like I become so invested, and I have this thought in my mind of like, I can only experience this for the first time once.
Oh yeah.
So I need to be mindful of what that experience is for me. And so Addy LaRue, I literally would like get in bed, like wait until my fiance fell asleep, like curl up with a little light and like read a chapter and then force myself to close it, put it away and like revisit it the next day.
Yes.
Because I was like, I can't.
Do literally the same thing because I will finish it in like 2 days and then just be so sad. I'm like,
yes.
Well, now what?
Yeah. And you can go back, but it's never the same knowing what you know.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Okay. I love that. I love that. So that's how you're kind of like shaking up your time, breaking it apart. So you're not just like epoxy, inhaling fumes all the time.
Oh yeah, speaking of whether or not it's toxic. So
actually,
I'm sitting here sweating because I'm used to having all of the windows open in my apartment, even though it's freezing cold, because it is like, I didn't realize, and I probably should have done research before I, you know, started it my first time ever doing it. I was getting first migraines. And I didn't understand why. And I was like, oh my God, what could this possibly be? And then I was like, oh, I should probably either be wearing a mask or have the windows open in my apartment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that. And I keep my little kitties locked away all day if I have it out because it's bad for their little nosies and their brains. And it makes me feel so sad because I'm like, I'm boxing you guys out from my life. And it takes 24 hours for it to like cure. Obviously, the smell isn't that bad after like 6 hours, but I still feel really bad. I'm like, you guys don't have your normal life. I don't have my normal life. It's like 20 degrees and I'm shivering in my apartment, but you got to do what you got to do. It's a hustle.
Yeah, record snows. It's like snowing 2 feet outside in New York and you're like, windows open.
I just got an alert. It's going to snow like 10 inches tomorrow.
I'm so happy I don't live there anymore.
I just got a car. All of a sudden, like, Ashley and I got cars within 1 week of each other.
Yeah.
And it's just been the most snow New York City has seen in like the 4 years that we've both lived here.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's fine. You can shit on me, God. It's okay. I appreciate it.
Pass. Absolute pass. The thing about it is like, I get it. It's pretty. People are always like, oh, you're from the Northeast. Like you're from New York. Like, oh, snow, it's so pretty. And I'm like, not New York City. Like it literally turns into disgusting gray, like slush. And the shittiest part is like, if you're a normal.
If it's not slush, it's like these ice bricks that you can't shovel anyway or do anything. There's a huge parking space in front of my apartment that I would love to have. But it is now turned into like a freaking igloo.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
A waste.
You just have to wait for it to melt. It's so fucking, and it won't melt until like May. That's the thing about it is like, if you're in a place where you are inside, maybe you're quarantining, maybe you have the luxury of like being upstate, whatever. Yeah. Gorgeous, beautiful upstate snow, or like you're watching it fall from your apartment in Brooklyn, like beautiful. But if you're a normal human being that needs to commute to work, like anyone will know, like you have to like put on three different layers, a puffer coat that goes down to the floor, boots, and you have to carry a bag full of your clothes that you change into and shoes that you change into when you get Absolutely. To work or wherever you're going. I literally, living in New York, that was the most miserable part, is I would walk out of my house, it's winter, it's pitch black outside, it's cold. Mm-hmm. I was, one time I was coming from my house in Staten Island to go take the express bus to go into the city to go to work. And I live near, like my family lives near a school. And so I was walking to go to the bus and there was just a sheet of black ice. Yeah. And I like literally lost my footing, tried to get it back, did a full like 360 twirl, fell on my ass, attempted to get myself up, got myself upright, got myself into a full vertical position. And then literally it happened like again, I fell. And I'm just laying there and it's dark and it's cold and I have all these bags. I have my purse and my backpack and my change of clothes and my gym clothes and all this bullshit. And I just like, I'm laying there like, why? And I turn and there was a kid that was going to school, a little kid that stopped, was just staring, laughing at me. And I was like, I need to move out of New York. Like, I'm fucking done.
This is literally what we were talking about before, where it's just you expect things in New York where it's just like, this little kid's going to be laughing at me. He's not going to be like, oh, excuse me, miss, are you okay? No, he's going to be laughing at me when I stand up. And so will 12 other people inside their brains.
Yeah. And then you get on the train or the bus or whatever, and you immediately start sweating your ass off.
Oh, I was just about to say that. I was like, I do not miss having to take the train and where you have those 12 layers of clothes, and then you just have that another layer of, which is sweat, just pure sweat. Yep. So you just smell amazing. So you smell like that nice outdoor smell, sweaty smell. Plus the office cramped. Now I'm coming into a warm office, so I'm sweating because of that. And I was just walking, and it's just a great vibe in New York. And obviously, you did the wrong thing by leaving us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sure. Just to let you know.
I don't want to know the temperature.
That's fair.
I don't want to know the temperature.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because it's 28 here. 28. So.
I mean, it's actually the same temperature here if you just invert those two numbers. Yep,
I was gonna say, there's probably a high chance that it's 80 motherfucking two out there. And I'm
sunny,
beyond jealous.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Hey, we have sun here too. It's just reflecting off the snow.
Off of that iceberg that just...
Exactly. That refuses to let me have my VIP parking spot in front of my apartment. Yeah.
Precisely. So did you get a car because you're taking Nora's Nook on the road, or did you just get a car for getting a car?
So my fiance and I, we decided to get a car so we could actually end up moving from the city. Yeah, we're trying to move when my lease is up, which is July, and we're trying to find a spot upstate so more of a work area, so I'm not in everybody's business. And you know, since we're getting married,
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. We're both engaged ladies.
We're going to get married.
Dude, I could see you. I don't know if this is your vision, but what I can see is like very much like a Chip and Joanna Gaines situation. Where you're Joanna Gaines, but you're like your own. You're just your own person. Yeah, but like very much like
I want one, but I don't need one.
Exactly, and that is kind of the layout I'm imagining for you. Just like a barn that you on your property that you have repurposed to be your workshop, and eventually you're hiring people, and you get a social media manager, so you don't have to fuck with that shit anymore. I'm gonna manifest this for you.
Honestly, if I could have like a brick and mortar shop, that would be the ultimate. With if you want to know my ultimate goal,
yeah,
it would be brick and mortar with like a cafe slash book area kind of thing, where it's like a mix between where you can buy like nice little home decor items, but it has like, you know, the area where you can chill and just read, or maybe like a little wine bar, or, you know, cannabis is ever legal in New York, a little smoke bar or something.
Yeah. Yep.
That type situation.
Oh my goodness.
That would be, you know, the ultimate, where I can be able to still, because I love talking to people. I love working with people. Mm. Obviously, this quarantine has led me far from that. Unfortunately, it's led everybody away from that. But I miss interacting with people. And I like that customer service. I started working at Hollister. I worked in a tanning place as a manager there. And then I started working in the legal field. And I really miss, you know, the customer service where, you know, people come to you for what they want versus like, the only reason you're getting customer service is because I want to scream at you. A very like curated experience where I can bring people what they want in a hopefully smaller town type situation.
I'm just getting like Rose Apothecary vibes.
I was just about to say that, and as I'm like saying it out loud, I was like,
open mic night.
So we're moving to Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Funny thing about Schitt's Creek, it's actually based off of this town in upstate New York called Sharon Springs. And come to find out, my second cousin lives there and owns a shop and knows the person that like Rose Apothecary was based off of.
They feel like they did a pop-up recently somewhere upstate.
Yeah, and then, I think it was in Sharon Springs. Near there for sure. And I was like,
okay, I have a friend that I want to connect you to, because she lives upstate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's completely escaping me where upstate she is, but she also just kind of launched in this space. I don't know that she's monetizing her venture yet, but she's very much exploring this like food space. So like very like basically like if Martha Stewart was a millennial,
I like
blood orange and cardamom olive oil cakes, like just right. Like luxe, delicious, beautiful. Her aesthetic is very cool. So like, yeah, like just to connect you with someone that can stop that your cafe
type situation. And that's what I really wanted to like bring to Nora's Nuka, where it's like you have these really nice pieces that, you know, like look like glass and look like they took hours. I mean, obviously they took hours to cure, but I'm not sitting there like whittling them down. But it looks like it's more money than what you're paying for. And that's what I love about it, because I love something that's cute and that's, you know, like can last a long time, but not, it's not going to cost me like. But I got that kind of taste.
Oh, I hear that. My fiance all the time is just like, he just has to talk me off the ledge, because I'm like, budget, what's that? Budget, what's that?
That's the B word. I don't like that. That's a bad word.
What is that? Like, and then we're like looking to buy a house, and it's one of those things where he's like, this is our budget. Like, this is the maximum that we could afford to spend on a house. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And I just not look within the budget at all for some reason. And never.
You went through all the effort of figuring all this out. Thank you so much. I'm not going to use any of it, but thank you.
Yes,
I'll use it eventually when I get to that state of, you know, not disillusion, but
And there are parts of California. There are parts of California that we were looking to move to that would be less expensive. The cost of living is less expensive. The properties are less expensive. So I'm like, great. So I like hop on Redfin, and in pure Julia fashion, I find the houses and the properties that are not only outside of budget, but are more expensive than the houses in the where we live now. And he's like, no. The whole point of moving there is so that you, like, we get in He's like, stop. He's like, stop looking at houses that are over $1 million. He's like, just why?
Oh, why?
Why? Yeah. And I'm like, look, this one has stables. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
He's like, Julian, what? Do we have horses? No, like, but maybe we will.
He's like, you grew up in New York City. Like, what do you know about horses?
And okay, I was like, first of all, if you knew anything about New York City, you know that we all wish that we could have a freaking horse in our apartment. Yeah. So.
Yeah. 100% correct. Thank you for setting the record straight. The people needed to know.
Exactly. Oh, we have these small town desires. We just never had the opportunity to have them in our life.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Oh my goodness. Okay. So that's the dream. The future is a brick and mortar store that's just like more an experience than just... Absolutely. A retail space. So what is like the, are you able to share some shorter term visions maybe that you're actualizing? Is there another drop? Is there, what's happening?
Yeah, I actually have this whole little vanity collection that I'm going to do, which it's like very vintagey, like dark browns. And they're like these little jars that are, they're definitely more decorative pieces, but you can put like Q-tips and stuff in there and have them in your bathroom and stuff like that. But they're also travel pieces as well because they have the tops on them, so you can just throw them in your bag and it's that simple. You know, like, oh, I'm traveling, let me grab my Q-tips, let me grab my cotton pads really quickly. You know, like they're all this small, they have screw tops, just throw them in my bag. Yeah. It's that easy. So that's like the next drop that I'm working on, and I love them because, you know, they are very vintagey with that dark brown, and you can put that gold pearlescence on it. And then something else I'm looking into doing is, you know, more of the customizing and being able to get those like, I don't know what they're called. I can't remember the name of it.
It's that's like the first thing that I asked you. I'm like, hey, what are, I was like, yeah. I was like, hey, are you taking commissions?
Yeah. Honestly, like I definitely, I love any time that somebody is like, all right, I want to buy this from my shop. I'm like, okay, cool. What color do you want? Blah, blah, blah. And I want them to be able to personalize it themselves versus everything looking like it's coming, you know, cookie cutter. And like, even if it's just the color of it, I let the person choose that. And even if they don't ask, you know, even if they're not like, oh, can I have this in purple or green or whatever? I'm like, I approach them and I'm saying, what color do you want in it?
Because
I'd rather have it be a curated experience for a person versus everybody have the same thing. Because even, for myself, I mean, growing up in New York and then living in Brooklyn, I mean, it went from everybody having, you know, matching Abercrombie and Hollister shirts to like a Plato's Closet, like Beacon's Closet, that's what it's called down here. Beacon's Closet.
Oh, wow, I miss Beacon's Closet so much. I feel like we have one in... Maybe it's not a Beacon. Maybe it's something else. We have something in Berkeley here that you have in New York that I love so much, but I'm just like, the thrift stores out here, not as good.
Really?
Just going to say it. Not as good.
What? Oh, good to know.
That's come at me, California.
That's definitely something to add to the, am I going to move to California list? Because love.
Well, I just feel like New York, you have such... One, you have such a diverse range of styles and personalities backgrounds. And there's also a freedom. Like you were saying, like, oh, it's New York. Like, no one's going to think twice if you walk down the street, like, with half your head shaved and the other half dyed pink and spiky. Like, no one cares. And like, no one's phased and everyone's so fucking jaded. But, like, whatever. That's a whole other thing. But, like, you basically have these people that have gone through all these stages of expressing themselves that backgrounds, and so like everyone's personas end up in these thrift stores, whereas in California, from what I've seen in LA and up here in the Bay Area, it's like a little less, like it's a little less experimental, and so you get it's harder to find. Like in New York, you can walk into Plato's Closet and you can find like something from H&M hanging next to something handmade that has safety pins sticking out of it, hanging next to something that is like high end.
Yeah.
And in California, it's a lot of floral maxi dresses. I'm just gonna fucking say it. A lot of floral maxi
dresses. That makes sense. I mean, especially in New York, we have the whole theater district. I mean, yes. That whole opportunity. So we have all of those creatives coming in for that. And yes, obviously LA has that as well. But I feel like in New York, it's such a smaller confined area that we have it. And it's, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a jaded opinion, but I feel like the creatives in New York are much more exuberant with their outlandishness, and they're more just like I don't give a fuck. Like, this is me. Like you said, like half pink shaved head, half purple spiky. You know what I mean? Like, my fiance and I have said it so many times. That's one thing that we're always going to miss about living in the city is that I can walk down the street wearing like my pajamas and feel fine versus, and then I can also walk down the street wearing like a freaking like couture dress and feel fine if I wanted to in the middle of the goddamn day. And it's cool.
Yeah.
People are just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever.
I love that. Well, I think the thing about it is like the creatives in LA are very much like in this edited space. So TV, film, like a lot of space where it's curated, it's edited, everything is thought of very meticulously, and it's what do we want the audience to get out of this, right?
Like, that's just like how we were talking about the Instagram before.
Yeah.
The Instagram. Sure. Am I my father? Yeah, like, the Instagram.
Instagrams. but New York is like way more theatrical because you have Broadway, you have like people that are just like, the main thing they want to give the audience is a maximal, they want to get a reaction because there's that live feedback of the theater where like people will laugh, people will clap, people will react. So you know the reaction you're getting, you're able to pivot accordingly. Yes. And it's all about like projecting from the stage. How are you going to do that? Big costumes, big color, big voices, big songs, things like that.
You're in the Met Gala camp.
Yes. All year long. And I love that. And like, yeah, I feel like if LA had like a representative creative, it would probably be, I mean, I don't know, a TikTok model, an Instagram model.
Yeah.
Like maybe like a reality, like someone that's just like very well put together and very curated and very much like has the grid that is like curated and homogenized. Whereas New York, it's like, Elton John. Like, that's the celebrity that represents New York is Elton John.
Yeah.
Like, feathers, colors, and so the thrift stores
were like that. We love everything about it.
Ooh. Hell yeah. I think it is, like, the jaded part is, like, we've seen so much. I don't even know if I can lump myself in anymore now that I left. But like New Yorkers have seen so much and have done so much, and it's just like nothing can shock me. And so there are people that will see that as like challenge fucking accepted. Let's go.
And I love it. I love it. That's why, I mean, obviously I grew up and was raised in upstate New York, but even just living in New York City for the past 4 years, it's transformed me into a type of person where it's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, if I want to, you know, like, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. If I don't want to do that, I'm
going
to do it. You know, like, you're just like, you're very, I feel like in New York, you find out what you want, what you don't want, and you're okay with saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I walked into, back when we were still going out places, I walked into a dinner party. And everyone was just like in jeans and like Birkenstocks or like leggings. And I walk in, obviously, like I'm from fucking New York. I am wearing like a leopard print shift dress. I'm wearing stilettos. Like I'm very much like full on, like we're going to a party.
Yeah.
And it was just like not, people were just like, oh, you look like really nice. Like, wow, are you going somewhere after this? And I'm like, what? Like,
this was the event, honey.
This is who I am.
Exactly. You either love it or you love it.
There are no other options. I fucking love that. I'm gonna that's gonna be my new credo for 2021. You either love it or you love it. Goodbye.
Exactly.
Okay, so
you know what's so funny? I texted Ashley and I was like, can you send me Julia's address? I'm going to send her something like from Drizzly.
Shut up.
She goes, she doesn't drink. And I was like, oh.
Oh yeah, I don't drink anymore. I don't know what the fuck happened, and I hope that this doesn't happen to normal people, but I've gotten to the point now where it doesn't matter what kind of alcohol I drink, I'll have two sips of it, and immediately I'm just like, okay, mama needs a nap, and I'll just fall asleep anywhere. And so I'm like,
I think that's just like being over 30.
I think so too.
So, I feel like it's like being over 30, but not being a mom yet. So you don't have that like super strength of like, I can stay up and do anything. Like it doesn't matter. So you're just like in that weird lull where you're like, all right,
cool. I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna take a nap. Like, yeah, I would much rather. And the thing about it is like, I like will fall asleep and then I'll just sweat and have a horrible night and then I'll wake up in the morning and just be like, oh, I didn't sleep well. Whereas like I'll just take an edible and all of a sudden I'm like, yo, can we just talk about like quantum mechanics for a moment? Because electrons are fucking weird. And then
my boy Neil deGrasse Tyson, he was just talking on the program with my other boy Joe Rogan, and they were crazy.
Obviously,
they explained the world, and now everything's gonna be fine.
Obviously, I've been going down the science side of TikTok, and it's just.
You know what? Like, I tapped into the ADHD side of TikTok. I was like, oh. This is me. Shit. I should probably go to a therapist and get diagnosed. But honestly, that's why there's some things on TikTok that my sister, who is like a social worker and very like anti-social media type situation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe anything on there. Like, she's very like guarded when it comes to that. She's like, don't follow those things. Blah, blah. And I was like, you don't know how it feels to be validated for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing people on TikTok, and as much as it can be like a toxic thing to be constantly scrolling on social media, as we have beaten to death previously, but there's like some things where you just like connect with people. You're just like, oh shit, okay,
yeah.
Like that makes sense. And TikTok has that where it's like there's like stoner TikTok, yep. And like I said, ADHD yep. TikTok and science yep. TikTok, and like yep. these like I'm just like, okay, all right, I like this, and it's never yeah. like. I've never seen anything where I'm just like, okay, that's outlandish, like that's ridiculous, yeah. or that's obviously wildly false, or you know, things like that. It's like,
yeah.
just, you know, it's just a lot of information from people who are just trying to get it out there, yeah. which I think is great.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's this convergence that we're seeing of like Gen Z, who I feel like we as millennials were the generation that like really opened our minds to. We knew what it was like before social media, before the internet, before all that stuff. But then we got it and we started adapting to it, and it opened our minds to like, we need to talk about our mental health. We need to talk about these things. We need to be more vulnerable. Da, 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 da. But there was also this like, we're still exploring it and we're exploring the video element of this and all of that. And now we're seeing Gen Z who are even further. They're just like super vulnerable and super open mm-hmm. and super like, this is who I am. And now they have a platform that like our parents who are still sending out propaganda on Facebook, like they're not on TikTok. They don't know what's happening. And so it's this convergence of a like age group that feels their vulnerabilities and speaks openly about them. And they have their own platform
yeah.
to do that on without judgment, without like any sort of fear of repercussion or anything like that, and it's just yeah. so powerful.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that that's only just going to keep on evolving with generation and generations, and hopefully when we have children that it's, you know, such an acceptable topic to, like, as you said, talk about mental health. Like, even talking about how I've struggled with depression, I sometimes I'm like, shit, I shouldn't say that, and then I'm like, I don't give a fuck, like, everybody has depression, everybody has problems. My boss was joking to me the other day. He's like, oh my god, why are you so goddamn chipper? Like, the world is going hell in a handbasket. Like, joking around, I was like, well, guess those antidepressants are really kicking in. And he was just like, and I was like, first of all, that was a funny ass joke. Second of all, like, your generation just doesn't understand that it's okay to talk about these things, and it's actually so much more beneficial to society as a whole to talk about these things. And mm-hmm. I think that even having younger cousins that are in the more Gen Z type era, mm-hmm. I can see that in them. And it's actually very inspiring to see that. I even have like one of my friends, Tyreek, who's, I mean, he's 22.
Okay.
I guess that is like technically Gen Z, like borderline.
I think so. But yeah.
He actually started his own business, which was Masterpiece. And he started doing this whole clothing line. And that was where I started seeing like, all right, he's putting himself out there. He's younger than I am. He's putting himself out there on social media. I think I can do this. Like he actually worked as an intern at my job, and that's how I became friends with him. And when I actually launched Nora's Nook, I like sent him a text. I was like, just so you know, like I was able to do this because I saw you do it, and that was amazing. And you like that was part of the inspiration for me to be able to know that I can do this because you're putting it out there on social media, and you're so open to, you know, like just like bringing everybody in and being a collective community versus such an exclusive community, which our parents' generation and our some part of our generation is still, you know what I mean? Even though I think that we're obviously turning towards the whole, let's be open about things, let's talk about them, and let's put them on social media and make it an okay thing to just talk about anything, even like if it's mental health or starting your own business.
Yeah.
And talk about it.
Yeah.
Let other people know where you are and help them be where you are as well.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. So in that vein, I have two questions for you. One, what has been your biggest kind of lesson that you've learned up till now? And then piggybacking on that, like what is from your experience a piece of advice that you can give people who like maybe they have an idea and they don't know the next step, or maybe they don't even have an idea but are inspired by this and want to figure it out. Like what would you tell them?
Well, my biggest lesson has been just, you know, if you are pursuing some type of artistry or creative passion, definitely let it speak to you versus you forcing it. Otherwise, you're not gonna be happy with it. It's gonna be like how I said before, like a constant like commodity. It's gonna turn into a 9-to-5. Let it work for you versus you working for it. And what was the other question? Advice I would give?
Advice,
you know, follow your heart and your passion. And if that's something that you actually do want to do, like I said, I've been toying it with it for a couple months. If I'm gonna be honest, I've always been a type of creative person. Even when I was little, my mom would be able to leave me with, you know, like a bunch of paper plates, some popsicle sticks and cotton balls and some glue. And she could come back like 3 hours later and I was sitting there and she's like, what are you doing? I'd be like, I'm creating. What are you doing?
Like,
So, I mean, if you have something that you have in your life that you can commodify without it, you know, taking over your soul in such a dark way where it's not fun or not productive to your mental health anymore, then definitely do it if you have the money to do it. I mean, luckily I was able to use my stimulus check to be able to put my money into creating my business, and that definitely helped in that way. I mean, startup money in that sense is definitely, if you can have people invest so you're not putting your own money into it, obviously that's helpful, so you're not being the only person at risk. But also keep in mind that if you do have investors and things like that, then that's going to take away from your creative aspect because they're going to have a say and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And definitely, if you have like something as small as an Etsy shop, definitely 100% make it a legal business entity so you can have the protection of having, you know, in case of any type of liability issue, you have that protection for you and you can be covered. And that's just my legal side coming out.
So does that mean, So does that mean that, and also just disclaimer, like we're not attorneys. We're not giving you legal advice. This is our share your experience. But
I'm a paralegal and I've worked for two attorneys. So that's the only reason why I have
okay, to be so you know. Yes. So you know. So are you, so did you like, does that mean like are you a formal like S Corp LLC? Like what?
So I'm actually... Nora's Nook is DBA of Wadani Enterprises, which is currently an S Corp, which I started. So yeah. I thought it was important because there's all different types of corporations that you can start, whether it's an LLC, a regular PC, mm-hmm. a regular corporation, S-Corp. An S-Corp just happened to be what worked for me because I'm under 500 employees, obviously. And I didn't have a partner, so I didn't need that partnership side of it or anything. But it does have the protection for you. God forbid you are sued and things like that. And also, you're covering your bases with tax issues and things like that. So, you know, you have those business situations set up. And that's why I was very, blessed to have that as my, professional background, to know that information. I knew that going in that I needed to have this stuff set up. Some people, when they start an Etsy shop, they're like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to throw stuff up there, make some money. And then come tax season next year, you're like, I have all this additional income and now it's going to ruin my taxes and things like that. So, I mean, that's been a big help for me personally that I know. I mean, also, even before I was a paralegal, I was a certified tax preparer. So I knew all of the legal ramifications when it goes into doing the taxes as well. You know, keep all your receipts, track your miles that you're going to do stores, like things like that. So that was super beneficial for me. And I advise, if you are thinking of doing any type of small business, definitely look into all the different types of corporations there are. And, I'm on Instagram. If you want any advice, I'm here. slide on in and ask me my corporation advice, because I got it if you need it. And it's, like I said, it's super important also.
Yeah. So where can the people find you? Where can the people shop you?
So my email address, the hell am I talking about? You want to email me? The
Instagrams.
The Instagram handle is Nora's_Nook. And then my Etsy shop is www.etsy.com/Nora's Nook Shop. No apostrophes. Okay.
I'll make sure to add that to the description of the episode as well, so people can click through. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, hang out with me. And this was like so special. The last time I saw you, I had my hands all over your face. And even though we're 3,000 miles apart, I still feel as close to you at that moment. You have a beautiful face, and your makeup looks incredible.
I did it just for you. Really? Okay, first of all, wearing a real bra for you, special.
Why?
I don't know, because I thought that you might want to post this gorgeous video. I didn't know how you do it, so.
That's fair.
I was like, also confident.
That wasn't aimed at you. That was just my general hatred for bras. For bras?
Yeah, no, exactly. So, but I was like, some people might care. I got to put one on. I haven't worn a real one in so long. So put on a real bra for you. Put on makeup for you.
Oh my God.
And curl the hair. All for the confidants and for you.
I'm not worth it.
I dried my hair last night and my fiance goes, wow, your hair looks really good. I was like, yeah, it's for Julia. He goes,
we only do it for other girls.
Course.
We don't do it for men. We do it for other girls.
If I needed to have my hair look good so he liked me, I don't think I would like him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's completely fair. Yeah. I know. I'll because I have bleached hair now. And so I'll maybe wash it, full on wash it, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
But without fail, right after I wash it and do all the things to it, immediately Garrett is like, did you do something new? You look really good. And I'm like, I fucking shaved.
Exactly. Could you make me feel any worse? Thank you.
Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. Congratulations.
Thank
on
you
your-
as well.
Thank you. On your baby, on your launch, Nora's Nook. Yeah, guys, seriously, check out Nora's Nook. I will link it in the description. Nora's Nook on Etsy, Nora's Nook on Instagram. It is, honestly, some of the most beautiful things I have ever seen.
That's
and
sweet.
I'm not even, lying. I'm not even trying to flatter
she
you.
She would say so. She'd be like, and I'm just hyping this girl up.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I wouldn't have even asked you to do this. which thank you for doing this.
Exactly. Of course. Thank you for having me. I feel so blessed. I told you I was going to send you drinks, but you don't do that anymore.
No.
Edibles coming anything. Your way.
Don't send me anything. Oh my God. Well, you know, I'm not going to say no to that. But honestly, like, I hope that, you know, people check you out and people shop you and people support you, support your local, you know, or not local, support your small businesses, support your makers and the people that are out there doing the damn thing. Like, let's fucking stop shopping all of these fast mass producers that are not paying their people appropriately and just pumping out the same bullshit. Like, if you want a live, laugh, love sign, have it made in resin epoxy.
Exactly. I can do that. Just DM me. I do commissions.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Nora.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
So much fun. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Give me that
money. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. And tell your friends about the Makeup Artist Chronicle, too. You can always get more content on Instagram at MUA Chronicle, so don't forget to follow me there. Talk to you soon.